Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyard, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Wayne Besson, if I'm pronouncing that right, leads a pro-homosexual organization. And perhaps he'll answer questions I just asked Lisa Miller from Newsweek. Remember that show we just did? She wrote the cover story on homosexual marriage. That'd be neat to get those questions answered. Wayne's group is located in Brooklyn, New York. And by the way, my wife Cheryl and I recently walked across the Brooklyn Bridge, and if I would have known about TWO, Mr. Besson's group, TWO, Truth Wins Out, perhaps we could have done an interview in person. But I wonder if Wayne Besson knows that Focus on the Family has changed their public policy position on homosexuality. On his website, he addresses Focus on the Family. So let's go to him. Wayne Besson, welcome to Bob Inyard Live.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Wayne, are you familiar with the change in Focus on the Family, Dr. James Dobson, and their public policy position regarding homosexuality?
Well, they still have their ex-gay program for what I understand, and so I don't really see a change. In fact, I see in Charlotte, North Carolina, they're going to have a big Pray Away the Gay conference next month. So whatever cosmetic changes they may or may not have added to the website, what I do see is their basic tenet that you can pray away the gay, which I adamantly oppose, as does the American Psychological Association.
And Wayne, you and I come from completely opposite positions on this issue of homosexuality, and I represent a group of right-wing Christians who are openly critical of Dr. Dobson because they have changed, and it's not a superficial or cosmetic change, it's a fundamental change. Do you know that previously they advocated laws that criminalized homosexuality? You're familiar with that?
Yes, I am.
And that now, for example, the elders of our church, I pastor Denver Bible Church, we went down, gave a presentation to their public policy division down in Colorado Springs, and Tom Minery, the vice president of public policy for Dr. Dobson, stated clearly, and we went to talk to them about this, that they oppose laws that criminalize homosexuality. In fact, Colorado's own Amendment 2 effort back in the early 90s, which they campaigned for, today they would not be in favor for it because they think it's discriminatory against homosexuals. So I see it as a sad development that Focus on the Family no longer advocates what had been a Judeo-Christian legal principle for centuries, for millennia, that homosexuality has been criminal. They now believe it should be legal.
Well, I think as Christians and other people of other religions have often done, when attitudes in society change, they change as well. I think that people learn from experience and see the error of their ways. You know, it also had been a tenet for centuries. In fact, the church played a crucial role in slavery, as did the Muslim faith in Africa with slavery. People saw the evil of this and changed it. The role of women has changed.
Wayne Besson, you're right, as did the whole world. You know, the Roman Empire, the Greeks, the Egyptians, go back to biblical history. The Jews were slaves in Egypt in bondage for generations. So, yeah, the world had this horrendous, horrendous experience with slavery. I'm thankful for people like William Wilberforce in England and Harriet Tubman in America, Christians who pioneered, they were abolitionists to end slavery.
Well, Christians played a role. They didn't play the only role, certainly not even the majority role. People who weren't Christians and certainly were secular played probably the key role. In fact, as you know, the Southern Baptists were formed in defense of slavery. So, you know, they've been wrong in the past, and they're also wrong homosexuality today. And we expect to get an apology probably within 50 to 100 years, although you know, it could be longer.
You very well may get that. The statement on your website that I would look for something to see if we could have some common ground to start our interview. And so I looked for a statement that I could agree with, and I found one that I could pretty close to agree with, almost, that you said, quote, focus on the family is going to find that support for their outdated position on gay and lesbian equality is eroding, even among evangelical Christians. Wayne, you're right. Evangelical Christians, people who go to Bible churches, are beginning to change this century-old belief that homosexuality is criminal, and they're beginning to, well, they've adopted the slogan that Focus on the Family promoted, equal rights for homosexuals. Do you remember when Dr. Dobson and Tom Minery promoted that?
Well, here's what I do know. I do know that your position on this, do you really consider America a free country of right now as we were speaking? Somebody with a badge barks into my house, handcuffed me, and put me in a cage. Is that really the kind of America you want to see? Most people, the vast majority of them, would be horrified by that. They certainly wouldn't call this a free country, but that's what you're promoting.
I think that back when America was founded, going back centuries and millennia, homosexuality was a crime. And in the last 30 years...
And slavery was a law.
Yeah, well, I agree. I'm not saying everything in the past was right. I'm not saying that. That's Pollyannish. No, but homosexuality was criminal. And in the last 30, 40 years of the acceptance and decriminalization of homosexuality, we've seen the tortured deaths of millions of people because of homosexual behavior. So I think it's cruel. It's a form of self-hatred and hatred of your neighbor to promote homosexuality because it's so devastating, it's so destructive.
Nobody in the history of this world has ever died because of homosexuality. They have died, perhaps, suppose you're referring to a virus, the HIV virus, but that's the majority of people in this world are heterosexual in Africa who are dying for this. And no gay person has ever died who has used condoms, which, for example, if they have sex, that conservative Christians have opposed with great vigor. So homosexuality has never killed anybody. In fact, I've been out of the closet since 1988 when I was 18. And, you know, I just got my physical at the doctor the other day and I'm doing quite well. So it's irrelevant.
Wayne,
nobody dies or even gets
sick. Wayne, I'm glad that you're healthy, and I hope that you remain healthy throughout a long life. But I do hope you reconsider. You know, homosexual sex itself is inherently dangerous. Like, for example, heterosexual sex between a husband and a wife is a sperm is not likely to go through the lining and get into a woman's bloodstream, whereas the rectal wall, we all know, is thin. Sperm readily penetrate the rectal wall. That leads to a great risk of disease, of tearing.
That's medically untrue.
Well, how about the best way to spread hepatitis B, HIV, and syphilis, and other bloodborne diseases is through rectal sex? Well, and heterosexual sex, it's the same is not true.
It's not true for men.
Well, it is.
However, you just said it doesn't penetrate the vaginal wall. Now, how exactly are women in Africa and in America much more likely than men to get it if that's the case? You're saying defies everything about science, particularly Medical Association.
Let me ask
the
you
AIDS
this.
Statistics back what I'm saying and not you. Nobody has ever gotten the slightest bit sick. There's been no negative health benefits by being gay. You know what causes gay people to be sick? Ignorance. Ignorance of how to protect themselves, just as with heterosexuals.
All right, let me ask
throughout
you
the
this. Am I wrong when I say this, that unlike heterosexual intercourse, rectal intercourse is the best way to spread hepatitis B, syphilis, and HIV. Am I wrong when I say that? I mean, a husband and wife are married, and they don't spread HIV to one another, even though they're having sexual relations. That's a common phenomenon. Magic Johnson, others.
I suppose you could ask Jimmy Swaggart's wife about that. The fact is, that
you
people
could,
need to learn.
Right.
I guess the fact is that people need to know about safer sex, whether they're married or not. You know, about 50% of Americans end up divorced. Much of that is through cheating. To call marriage a fail-proof way, in fact, marriages fail at a much greater rate than condoms, quite frankly. Everybody, whether they're Christian or non-Christian or married or unmarried, need to know about safer sex and how to protect themselves. Unfortunately, from the evangelical community on the right, they're promoting ignorance over education, and there's been disastrous health results because of this. You know, there's never, ever been a group of people who were practicing safer sex, there was an HIV epidemic. If you ask people who have been infected with any sexually transmitted disease, it's almost always when unsafe sex, coming from ignorance, or feeling
condoms,
terrible about themselves.
Wayne, condoms have a failure rate regarding pregnancy, and the HIV virus is minuscule. It's tiny compared to the enormous size of a sperm in comparison. So obviously, safe sex, if you have a partner who's HIV positive and you're having sex with a condom, the failure rate for pregnancy is significant. That's one reason Planned Parenthood gets so much business for abortions.
Well,
so
that's
and you can only
true.
Get pregnant in 1 week out of the month, 5 days out of the month. You could get HIV 30 days out of the month, and the HIV virus is so much more likely to penetrate the latex of a condom than is a sperm.
That's not true.
None of that is true, Wayne?
That is not true.
None of it's true.
None of that's true.
How about that you can only
get
pregnant a few days a week and you could get HIV any day? Is that true?
Well, you can only get pregnant. Well, you know what? What you're saying is false medically. What you're doing is spreading misinformation medically. The fact is, if your people are having safe sex, they're not transmitting any disease like you're talking about. And people, unfortunately,
well, they get
usually
pregnant,
the condom breaks. No,
Wayne.
If the condom breaks, it's for people who don't know how to use them. You know what that stems from? It stems from the ridiculous $200 million plus a year the Bush administration, for example, has spent to push this absolutely nonsensical, medically vapid, abstinence only, where people not only lie about being abstinent and virginity pledges, but they're more likely to catch sexually transmitted disease. You know what spreads STDs? Virginity pledges and abstinence only education.
All right,
that's
Wayne,
medical
and,
fact.
I could agree with you and being upset and angry and critical of George Bush too. So there are some areas of agreement, only we're on opposite sides of the issue. Can I ask you a couple questions? One is about how people are born. And the other is about how we treat those of the opposite sex. Why, Wayne Besson, why do we not allow a male coach into the girls' locker room? Some fundamental questions about gender.
Well, it's, for one thing, it's a huge power imbalance is one thing. Men oftentimes are much bigger. And, of course, with society, you know, that opens up a lot of potential problems. However, you know,
so
we do
slight
expect,
man.
We do
let's,
expect, but there are, but there
let's
are
say
a
the
lot,
coach is a
men.
Slight man. Let's say
men.
He's 5'8". Let's say the coach is 5'8". He's slender build. Our society, we don't assume every adult is a child molester, right? But we don't allow a male coach in the girls' locker room. Do you know why that
is? Well, you know what? But we do.
No, we don't.
Have male coaches, but we do have male coaches over women's teams throughout this country.
Yeah, but why
wrong?
Don't we allow them in the showers or in the locker room? In the health club, in the ladies, there's a reason. I'm wondering if you know, with your insights on sexuality.
I don't know. You seem to be fascinated with this.
I'm interviewing
in locker room. I think it's a ridiculous question. The fact of the matter.
I just asked you one question. How can I be fascinated, Wayne?
It's absolutely absurd.
I submit to you, Wayne, that you're afraid to answer that simple question.
No, I'm not afraid to answer
that
question.
Then
sexual
why
harassment.
Is it? Why
would you agree that sexual harassment is wrong in all cases?
Okay, so why do we don't assume every adult is a child molester, right? I don't.
Well, of course we don't, but why?
Okay, so why don't we allow a male coach?
Sexual harassment always wrong? That's what it comes down to, sexual. I know what you're getting at this. Sexual harassment is always wrong, and we should understand that.
Why don't we allow a male coach in a girl's locker room?
Well, I tell you what.
I can tell you why.
Okay. Please enlighten me with this question.
Okay,
because I know where you're going with it, but it's a faulty logic.
You realize where I'm going, but you're inherently afraid of it, Wayne.
Well, no, you're inherently afraid to point out where you're going with it.
No,
why,
I'm not. I'm just
example,
ready to do
why,
that.
For example,
I'll answer
why,
the
for
question.
Example,
yeah.
Well, you go ahead and finish, and
okay.
I'll
we don't allow. All right, we don't allow a male coach in the girls' locker room because there's a sexual attraction between men and women. And so we give teenage girls privacy from men, from males, from boys, in their showers, in their locker rooms. That's why we don't allow a man in a girl's locker room. So you're promoting widespread acceptance of homosexuality. So how does that work? I submit it doesn't work. It's inherently dangerous and dysfunctional. So what do we do about the male coach who's a homosexual?
Well, that's actually provably false. In fact, some of the top
military... What's false? I just asked the question,
provably,
Wayne.
Look, it's
what
provably
is false?
False what you're getting at. Well, let's look at it this way. Every single military in NATO except the United States has gays in the military, and it's working out quite fine because there's rules of sexual harassment, for example, that are tightly followed. Nobody should feel threatened or harassed. That's the most important point right here. So are you assuming that American, it seems to be very insulting, that Americans, particularly the military, are the stupidest people in the world, according to your opinion, because they're the only people in the world that can't be mature and professional when it comes to openly gay people? What's so different about Americans that you're against us?
I think that a man who is attracted to males should not be allowed in a boys' locker room for the same reason that a man who's attracted to girls should not be allowed in the girls' locker room, because it's a violation of the fundamental dignity and respect of a human being that they could be in private places and social environments and have no concern over sexual tension or leering eyes.
Well, you know, it's only sexual tension when it comes to men if you're insecure with your sexuality.
No, that's not true. How about the girls, the teenage girls? So should we allow men in their locker rooms?
My heterosexual friends can go to the gym with me, and there's no sexual tension. I suggest that we've got a bunch of repressed religious fanatics who aren't comfortable with themselves.
So are the teenage girls repressed? And is that why we don't allow boys in their locker room? Because they're dysfunctional?
I think you're conveniently ignoring, again, the power factors and centuries of sexism and male domination and intimidation of women. You're conveniently leaving out this history when you say that.
So let the female coaches in the boys' showers.
This is like a bunch of locker room talk. What you're missing
is
what you basically want to jail and segregate gay people because of your own insecurities and prejudices and hatreds. And you're basing this all upon religion. The fact is, the countries that work best in this world are the ones without discrimination, the ones that are doing best, the states that are doing best in the United States of America, outlaw discrimination based on sexual orientation, and all this bigotry and all of this tension and all this stuff you're talking about is not there in those states and those countries. The places that are most homophobic in this world are quite the opposite. It's usually religious repression that causes most of what you're talking about.
All right, well, so Wayne, thank you for addressing that question. Let's remind the audience that you're with an organization called TWO. Could you tell them about your group?
Yeah, Truth Wins Out. What we do is we defend the gay and lesbian community against anti-gay lies and misinformation. And doing it quite well, particularly we defend our community against the lie of that so-called ex-gay myth where people pray away the gay or say they can. Of course, these people who have claimed to gone from gay to straight are usually out at gay bars and not who they say they are, in which we've shown with this organization. So obviously we are kept quite busy because... if you look at the anti-gay arguments, they just simply don't stand up like the one we just had. Gay and lesbian people, as you know, are our friends and family members, and discrimination is just flat out wrong. And those who have gay and lesbian friends and family members know this. And I just want to add one more thing.
Yeah.
We want to dispel of the myth that religion is necessarily against gay and lesbian Americans.
There are all kinds of religions that are pro-homosexual, Christian denominations. Wayne, you're not kidding, and there's increasing support for homosexuality among evangelical Christians, so you're right. You brought up the ex-gay phenomenon, and Westword, I don't know if you've heard of Westword. It's a Denver weekly alternative. I can't really say it's the pro-homosexual newspaper in town because the Denver Post is a pro-homosexual newspaper. It's probably the anti-heterosexual newspaper in town. But they did an article on me, and there were hundreds of our listeners who had posted on our website, and they figured they'd contact 10 of them randomly. And this is on their website, westward.com. And they contacted from Greenwood, Indiana, David Oshel. And they said, and I didn't know David, but he's one of our listeners. They said David Oshel was openly gay from 1983 to 1995. He started listening to Bob Benyart Live. And he told Westward that what Bob Benyart says about homosexuality is correct. It is disgusting. It's exceedingly promiscuous. Many move toward more vile practices because it's no longer fulfilling. He's now married with children, homeschooling, and he's an anti-abortion activist. So, Wayne, do you have to somehow try to discredit his personal testimony and say he's lying or it's not true?
Well, you know, it's not me discrediting this particular so-called testimony. What this is that anti-gay organizations and churches are upset right now. They can't fathom that gay and lesbian people have very successful relationships. That we have terrific lives as long as we don't do irresponsible behavior that is promoted, unfortunately, by mostly by people who come from anti-gay churches and have low self-esteem as a result. So they can't fathom the fact that many of us do terrific things for this world. And as a result, people are seeing that, and we're gaining acceptance. And this whole ex-gay thing is really a political tactic that, you know, is there for right-wing Christians to say, well, gay people don't really exist. They're just misbehaving heterosexuals. It's, you know, really a smokescreen.
They exist. Wayne, we agree on that also. They do exist.
Actually, ex-gays don't really exist. In fact, I photographed the leader of the ex-gay ministries in a gay bar.
I believe that. Hey, Wayne, back 15 years ago, I've been on the air 5 days a week for, 17 years now, 18 years. And way back in the early 1990s, I warned a group called Where Grace Abounds that if they have weekly meetings with ex-former homosexuals, they will end up in a gay bar after their meeting because they're run without wisdom. It's like somebody who's addicted to porn and prostitutes starting a ministry to reach out to prostitutes. It's a fundamental lack of wisdom. So their failure is expected by our side also.
Well, of course, other than the fact that your notion that it's somehow an addiction is wrong, it's obviously if they're going to go to a gay bar after desperately trying to change and being browbeaten by right-wing religious groups to change who they are, it doesn't work. I think it quite honestly shows how innate this is, how some people of faith would, I guess, call it the way God made them. I mean, it's really common sense. And we've learned from experience that, A, people don't change, B, it's not how you're brought up, and C, people either come out of the closet or they end up like Ted Haggard. I certainly don't think that's a healthy way to promote a life for anybody.
And Wayne, you were referring to John Polk earlier of Exodus International?
I was referring to John Polk, but that's not the only one.
Michael Jones. You did the body of Christ a favor, and so did the homosexual prostitute in Denver who let the world know that Ted Haggard was a hypocrite. These are favors done to the body of Christ because hypocrisy is destructive.
Actually, I think that Ted Haggard was a very gifted man, and he should have been able to be a preacher, and he should have been an openly gay preacher with 15,000 member congregation. That people made this man hide and go undercover and live like an animal, scurrying out to fulfill his natural needs that every human being who breathes and has a beating heart needs to fulfill, that he had to live like this.
It is wrong.
That's a sin on the church, not Ted Haggard. He's a victim, and of course he's a victimizer to his family, but let's not forget this man was a victim, and he should have been accepted as a gifted preacher for who he is, not who people wanted him to be. Unfortunately, we have people who have these bigoted religious beliefs, as we've seen throughout centuries with other groups, whether it be against women, the Jews, or for slavery, as I pointed out earlier. we've learned, again, a lot over time and over experience that we don't let people be who they are, and we try to suppress them or repress them. It comes back to hurt society and not help
society. All right. And Wayne Besson, Truth Wins Out. Wayne, I do try to look for the things that you say that I agree with, even though it's from 180-degree opposite perspective. I do agree it's wrong for us to promote people to live like animals. I do agree with that.
It's a question of, them in jail.
It's a question of what does it mean to live like an animal.
Wait a second. You just said something. Let me quickly get this point here. Yeah. You said it's wrong to make them live like animals, but yet you want to put people in prison. What do you expect people to do? What you're promoting by doing that is for people to hide like animals. You're promoting them to pretend to be who they're not. To marry people they're not attracted to and don't love.
The world,
that's terrible for the family.
Wayne, the world didn't have this explosion of homosexuality spread disease, epidemic, millions dying 60 years ago. This was with the acceptance. Like if we started accepting, like mainlining drugs, we accept it, we'd promote it. If we accepted child pornography, we would be promoting it. When we accept homosexual behavior, we promote it.
Well, it should be, quote, promoted for people who happen to be gay or lesbian. To promote heterosexual behavior for people who are homosexual is a societal disaster. How many spouses have had their lives destroyed? How many children have had to grow up in miserable families because one of their parents was hiding who they were and depressed? You know, I just had lunch with the Christian singer Ray Bolts not too long ago, and he did this for decades. And his family kept wondering why he was miserable and depressed.
Yeah.
And it was because he was hiding. They're much happier now that he's
Wayne,
out.
Wayne, what would you say a while back?
He's actually happy and not hiding.
Wayne, a while back, I came out of the closet on the air. I admit it. It was hard to do in public. But I admit it, I was homophobic. And I considered that I was actually born that way. When I told my family and friends, they were not mad at me. They accepted me. And I realized that I was born this way.
You were just raised improperly.
How do you know that I wasn't born this way?
Well,
if I go to lunch, after I eat, if I see two men about to kiss, I could seriously lose my lunch. It's like a gag reflex.
Well, because if you were raised in a ignorant, bigoted way like that, then I can't, you know, I really can't blame you.
I don't remember my parents ever mentioning homosexuality, ever, Wayne. I grew up in the 60s.
The fact is,
they didn't ever mention lesbians or gays.
What are you talking about? You on your own.
It was never brought up.
Christian, you're on your own right-wing Christian radio show to say that your religious beliefs here that you have been brought up with that preach that people like myself have their lives invaded, and that we use the force of the law to break down our doors and throw us in jail. And you say that doesn't affect your points of view. I mean, who are you kidding?
No, I'm saying when I grew up,
people who don't have such brain.
Wayne, when I grew up, I don't recall people talking about homosexuality. It wasn't a topic around the dinner table. It just wasn't. I don't recall.
Well,
that's
the problem, and that's the problem, because there were just...
That gave me my gag reflex?
Actually, it did, because such horrible homophobia throughout society. Why didn't you hear of it? Because people were scared to death. They were scared for their livelihoods, for their families, for love and acceptance, from with their church and in society. And the message was sent to all these people that if they didn't conform, and if they didn't fake who they were, and quite frankly bear false witness every single breathing second of their lives would be destroyed. How this helps society, I have no idea. It certainly destroys families. And that message that it sent you was that there was something very disgusting. And then, I'm not sure when you found religion, but the fact is, the particular religious beliefs that you espouse right now are very homophobic. And to say that none of this, both the silence and your childhood, the message that sent, and the religious beliefs you were talking about now does not affect what you call your natural gag reflex is patently absurd.
All right.
We're all very much influenced by both our belief system that we learn and the fact the message were sent as young people.
We sure are. We're speaking with Wayne Besson of Truth Wins Out. Wayne, we Christians say that children are born male or female, that God made us male and female, and that there's a an alternative claim out there that children are nurtured into their gender, that society imposes gender on children. I'm wondering, do you have an opinion? You know, we strongly oppose the nurture claim. We argue that kids are born being, you know, hermaphrodites notwithstanding. There are some hermaphrodites.
But that is good. I mean, you bring hermaphrodites up. It does show that there's great diversity within the human species.
Oh, yeah. Some people are born with both male and female reproductive organs, and that's from a mutation, a known mutation. We know that. But aside from that, when a baby boy is born or a baby girl, I submit biblically that they are born with their gender, a boy or girl. And there are many, I find it among liberals these days, who argue that it's nurture. Society teaches them whether to be masculine or feminine. Do you have an opinion on that? That's not all I'm asking.
Yes, I generally don't agree with that. And we've seen that, we have seen instances where people, I think it was as a boy who had his member cut off, and he was raised as a girl, and he still emerged as a boy, if I remember correctly. So we have seen that you're guided a lot more internally by who you are than your upbringing. In fact, most gay and lesbian people would say, the vast majority, including myself, that they certainly weren't raised in an environment that would typically
promote
homosexual outcome. In fact, you know, I was captain of my basketball team in high school and played a year junior college, and very close to both my mother and my father, and loved stuff, you know, just love things such as, for example, I just got back in Florida and went fishing with my dad. So I don't think the way you're raised suggests very much. But then again,
okay, all right, I appreciate the answer.
Yeah.
A difference,
but certainly attitudes. For example, a sexist attitude, the things like that, fake masculinity, you know, can be how you're raised. If you're raised in the way that you're supposed to, you know, overdo it and you know, try to impress everybody and go, you know, talk like you're, you know, like you're Rocky Balboa all the time. You know, some people that is an act in a way, is, you know, and but generally speaking, people are who they are, and that's no matter what environment they're raised in, they're gonna, you know, to some extent, you know, end up being who they are, like gay and lesbian people happen to be. And I think we should promote people being honest with themselves. It never does society any good, never does families any good, when we promote dishonesty, when we promote people,
Wayne,
when we tell people they shouldn't be who they are.
All right,
and
now
name one example how that's positive, and I doubt you can.
Well, let's say you have a child molester, and you say, you know what, that tendency in you is destructive, it's evil, and you need to change who you are. There's one example.
Well, that right there, that's a completely different example.
Well, yeah, I'm just giving you an example of someone who should deny who they are because who they are is destructive, like a liar or somebody who likes to kill Jews. They're perverse.
Right.
We need to warn them.
We can agree on that one example because it's incredibly damaging to helpless children who are taken advantage of and have their lives destroyed. But when you move that example elsewhere, for example, to gay and lesbian relationships, your example falls apart. On the one example you just mentioned, you have children with their lives destroyed. Nobody would support that. And you know, these are victims. But you have two, you know, gay and lesbian couple, it's quite the opposite for being victims. These are people who, you know, are there to take care of themselves in sickness and in health, to be there for each other in good times and bad. So it's the complete polar opposite of what you just said. It's about actually improving people's lives and society, and to say there's victims in this, it's just, I guess anybody who might say that doesn't really know any healthy gay and lesbian people shouldn't get out more.
Now, you're stating very clearly that sex with children is wrong, that it's destructive. There has been, and it does seem that there's been a move in the homosexual community to condemn sex with children, whereas through the mid-90s, it was supported, it was advocated, it was made light of. And so what do you make of the...
I don't agree with that statement. What happened was there was a small fringe group that, I mean, I've been in this movement since 1988, and I have yet to meet a single person involved in what you're referring to as NAMBLA, which was a child molestation group. And this was a minute number of almost invisible people.
Well, you've heard of Harvey Milk High School? Wayne?
But, you know what you're referring to? What you're referring to is the age of consent laws, which homosexuals have said should be equal to heterosexuals. And that's the only thing that has been promoted. The gay and lesbian community, every organization out there, particularly anyone with credibility out there, and I've been involved in these organizations,
Wayne,
for a long time, have wholeheartedly condemned this and said it's wrong. And we'd be the first to say anyone who hurts a child should be prosecuted. I want to make that crystal clear.
Okay, and I agree with you. Anybody who hurts a child should be prosecuted. But I wasn't heard. I wasn't referring to NAMBLA, although they fit into the group. But you've heard of the Harvey Milk High School, and Damian Martin, who was the head of New York's homosexual high school, was quoted in Out magazine. I have the issue, the page number, an article titled "The Men from the Boys," and he said something very similar to what was in the Advocate 2 years earlier. He said, "No kid has ever been hurt by oral sex," and in the Advocate, Carl Maves, in an article titled "Getting Over It," said, "How many gay men would have missed out on a valuable, liberating experience if it weren't for so-called molestation?" And then, of course, Wayne Besson, you know about Allison Publications of Boston. They did the famous Heather Has Two Mommies, Gloria Goes to Gay Pride books for kids. And they also published a 300-page book, Pedophilia, The Radical Case, which is hundreds of pages of why and how you should take young boys to climax. Pedophilia, The Radical Case. We've got Allen Ginsberg here in Boulder, Colorado. He's given the key of the city. He promotes sex with children, publicly advocating pedophilia. NAMBLA marched in the gay pride parades in San Francisco, in New York, around the country. NAMBLA was at the UN with consulting status until Christians brought an outrage and the Clinton administration removed them from the UN. So why would you say it's a small fringe when it's these major leaders, major publications, and I could multiply the quotes I just gave?
You're grossly distorting the case, and we certainly don't want to get it. We want to go for tit for tat about taking individual examples. Well, I'll take on Christianity. I guess Susan Smith, who said God told the driver kids into a lake and murder them, that's Christianity. If you want to go there, let's just open any newspaper today and see the religious atrocities. Let's look at the Middle East right now and what's happening with everybody,
Wayne,
who claims God.
Okay, Wayne.
So my point is that first of all, I don't.
Wayne, first
agree
I will agree with you,
said.
Wayne. I will agree with you
when
people do things in the name of Christ, that's evil. We need to condemn it, expose it, and condemn it.
Why were
so many leaders and publishers and publications for years, why was NAMBLA marching in gay pride parades? I mean, to me, it shows this. It shows that homosexuality has broken almost every barrier of morality, and
false. Patently false. First of all, major gay leaders, those aren't gay leaders. Second of all, we're not talking about
Out magazine.
Out magazine did
the
not,
Advocate?
Were those editorials?
Allison Press? No, they're not editorials.
No,
they're articles.
You know
Allison Press?
Oh, you know what?
Harvey Milk High School?
Okay. You know what? What you're doing is you're taking a particular article, which almost every gay person I've ever met would disagree with. You're taking from the major gay organizations or the organizations, and there's hundreds of them out there, anything substantial or anything that backs what you're saying. What you are doing is the equivalent of me taking a Christian fundamentalist nut that shoots people in the name of God and putting them forward. That's just wrong. I mean, okay, why don't you go to my website, the Human Rights Campaign's website, the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force. These are the leaders within this community, not nobody, you've said, and find these examples. In fact, you would get every single leader, every single one, to wholeheartedly condemn any sort of child abuse. And in fact, we go out of our way to do that because of some of these ridiculous stereotypes pushed by people like Anita Bryant. But I will tell you something here. You're talking
Anita
about NAMBLA.
Bryant.
Gay Pride Parade. NAMBLA was never supported in the Gay Pride Parade. They were allowed to march for a time.
The child molesters, for how many years were they allowed to march?
Let me be clear on this. Very clear on this. It was not endorsed by anybody. There was a wrong-headed, stupid idea based on absolute free speech. It was a free speech issue, not child abuse.
And it was okay, well, how about Allison Publications?
And it was dead wrong. You know what? It was dead wrong, and this group hasn't marched in a long time.
How about Allison Publications? Do you agree that
Allison Publications
from Boston?
Allison Publications is a and again, I haven't seen the articles you're talking to, so I'm not going to
defend.
That's a 300-page
book.
Nor am I going to condemn them. But I will tell you, Allison Publications is a very large company that publishes tons of books.
Here's another one of their books, Age Taboo, Boy Lovers Are Not Child Molesters, page 144. Boy lovers are not child molesters. The child abusers are the parents.
Who cares? You're
who
doing,
cares? You won't condemn Allison Press.
What you're doing, if you want to put that forth,
yeah,
as the gay community, then you must also put forth that Susan Smith, who drove her children into a lake and murdered them in the name of Jesus Christ, is a Christian. If you will agree to that, I'll agree to that.
I condemn her and for using Christianity as an excuse.
What you're going to say, if an individual does something that 99.999% of gay people disagree with, and because they're gay, they say it, it's the homosexual community, it's the community. But when a Christian does something that 99.999% of Christians disagree with, it's not the community,
all right,
it's the
Wayne,
individual.
That's okay, here's the difference, Wayne. Here's the difference. If the Christian community openly, if its leaders advocate something vile, like killing Jews or owning blacks, then the Christian community should be condemned for that. If individuals who call themselves Christians do something wicked, then the responsibility could be with them.
You know what? You haven't shown me one organization.
Okay, how about Out Magazine? Out Magazine, you're familiar with Out, right?
Out Magazine does not promote that. You're just lying.
Well, here, okay, they have an article called The Men from the Boys, and the founder and director of a home for runaway youths is quoted saying this in a positive context. He said that, quote, he probably had sex with well over 1,000 people, most of them much older than myself when he was a teenager. So Wayne Besson, what Out Magazine is doing in a non-judgmental way is they're recognizing that this one teenage boy, loose in the homosexual community, could find 1,000 men to molest him. 1,000 men. They didn't realize what they were admitting, that many homosexuals get introduced to the lifestyle being molested as teenagers. Many do.
Actually, that's absolute nonsense. In fact, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. In fact, you can walk into any gay and lesbian community in this country, and there's actually a lot less children. If you want to look at molestation, you want to look at the Christian church, particularly the Catholic church.
Oh, yeah.
Molestation has not... Molestation,
they need to be condemned.
Child abuse in this American Psychological Association, the American Psychiatric Association, the American Medical Association, every association with any credibility will say that child molestation has absolutely zero
Wayne,
with homosexuality or heterosexuality.
All right.
And you know this to be true.
Wayne, do you think the Catholic Church was in denial about their molestation? You think they were in denial?
The Catholic Church is going to have molestation problems until A, they admit women priests, B, they allow people to be openly gay. Until that occurs, and then until they allow heterosexual male priests to get married, until it occurs, they're going to do nothing but recruit the most repressed people in society and the wrong type of person.
All right, and I think they were in denial for many, many, many years. Now, when I have debated homosexuals on this issue of whether or not children are at greater risk from homosexuals than heterosexuals, I ask them, is it possible to have a homosexual child molestation? Is that a possibility? What do you think? Truth wins out.
Absolutely not, because homosexuals,
it's not possible.
Homosexuals are not attracted to youth.
Is it
heterosexuals
possible?
Are not attracted to youth.
Okay,
every credible psychologist in this country will tell you it's a completely separate thing.
Wayne, this is a classic case of denial. Okay.
No, it's not a classic case of denial.
There is
it's
such
a
thing,
case of truth,
Wayne,
unless you don't like science.
There is such a thing as heterosexual child molestation. There are heterosexual men who only molest girls, and there are heterosexual women who only molest boys. Those are heterosexual.
You know what? That's a minority. You know what? That's a minority of molesters. And let's be clear about this. They're still, by this attraction, not heterosexual nor homosexual, but child molesters.
Okay, and let me,
a gay man likes other gay men.
Wayne, it should be obvious. You know, there's a transition. Men go to a football game and there are teenage girls being sexual with hardly anything on, and there's a boundary between men and children, and there's a time of puberty, and there's a transition. And so for men who are attracted to women, if they get enticed toward children or young teenagers, they molest girls. That's a heterosexual molestation. The reason you're in denial is because you know that homosexuals molest children at a rate far exceeding their proportion of the population.
That's
you know
preposterous.
That.
That's bigoted. Not only do I not know it, but I think it's absolutely absurd and it's incredibly
unfair. Well, what percentage of the children who are molested?
You know what? That's a complete bunch.
What percentage of the children molested are by same-sex molestations?
First of all, most people who are molested, it happens within family. So, if you want to go there, it's clear that anybody who's doing this is taking advantage of people within families. I've been.
And that would be called incest.
Have you ever been to a gay bar, Bob?
No.
Oh, well, I suggest
you get out
more.
But wait, out front,
does
out front count?
Often. But you'll notice the first thing you do when you go to a gay bar.
Does out front
notice
count?
Notice that there are mostly men, often older, around the same age, trying to hit on each other, just as a heterosexual bar is, in fact.
Oh, there's a big difference, Wayne. Big difference.
There's an enormous difference. The point is, and it's common sense.
You tell
it
us
really
the difference.
Unless you're trying to distort it.
Wayne.
Gay people are attracted to people. It's what you're doing is immoral. You're bearing false witness.
Wayne, could you tell us the
wrong.
Difference between a heterosexual bar and a homosexual bar regarding picking up someone for sex? What's the difference?
Well, I don't know what the difference is.
Well, it's a lot harder at a heterosexual bar for a man to go in and pick up a woman and have sex that night, probably without, than it is for a homosexual to go into a gay bar and have sex that night.
Please ask. You know what? That's
and I can tell you why.
Please.
I can tell you why.
Ask Gene Simmons, the rock star from Kiss, about that. How many was he? 5,000 women. Wilt Chamberlain claims 10,000 women.
Oh,
that's not. That's absolutely not. Perhaps.
Wayne,
you cannot be telling me this. I mean, what
Wayne,
scandal?
Okay, now I'll explain to you why, Wayne. If a man goes into a bar and wants to pick up a woman, it's more difficult because she's made with a different sex drive than a man is made. And a woman, even though we can break them down, and we do, they tend to want a relationship.
Oh, so you
men,
have to break them down? That's nonsense.
If we break down their dignity, their self-respect, she'll put out for any guy. If we break them down. But generally, women want
a
relationship.
So no woman can have a sexual experience unless they're broken down.
I'm saying generally, a woman doesn't want to have anonymous sex in a back room of a bar. Generally, a woman wants to feel like there's a commitment, there's love, there's something. Men could have sex where they can't even see their partners. They don't know who they are. They just need a place. Men a place and they'll have sex.
Please.
So let me ask you this. Is promiscuity greater among lesbians or male homosexuals?
A gay man will call a hookup and a heterosexual will call it an affair. Didn't the nation just get transfixed by the Bill Clinton sex scandal? And who was persecuting this guy?
Wayne, I'm not saying heterosexuals are not immoral. Of course they are.
Who was dating somebody 20 years younger than him?
Right.
Are we talking about Strom Thurmond, that wonderful conservative who had sex with a young African American, even he was promoting bigotry? I mean,
Wayne, thank you for exposing hypocrites.
That's laughable.
Is there greater promiscuity between lesbians or male homosexuals? Which group has more sex partners in a 10-year period? Lesbians or male homosexuals?
Male homosexuals.
And
absolutely.
By what order of magnitude?
Ten times? No, absolutely not 10 times.
10 to 100 times more.
No, 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 no.
10
no.
to 100 times
no, no, no.
on
average.
You
know what? You're talking about...
So, Wayne, regardless, you answered the mails and you were right.
Well,
so why is it?
I am right, but what you're
What
you're doing is you're creating a false dichotomy. Heterosexuals, wonderful heterosexuals with hardly any sex whatsoever, and women that don't even like sex unless they're broken down. And then on the other side, you have homosexuals, which you're trying to create is this decadent lifestyle. And I'm trying to tell you right now that, it depends on the individual, whether they're homosexual or heterosexual, what point of life they're in, if they're at a point where they're single and going out, or whether they're in a relationship. And, you know, I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to portray this as unnatural. And the only thing unnatural
about being
gay is trying to pretend you're heterosexual.
Do you notice Ozzy and Harriet?
Haggard, your buddy in Colorado,
Wayne,
what that's like.
Wayne Besson with Truth Wins Out. TWO, what is it, truthwinsout.org?
It is.
Okay, Wayne, if you notice Ozzy and Harriet mentioned in a homosexual publication, or if you Google Ozzy and Harriet, I don't know if you're old enough to remember, you know, they had a TV show where they were actually married in real life, and their real life kids played their kids on TV. So it was a husband and wife and kids. And when they are referenced in homosexual literature, it is exclusively to mock them. It's to ridicule them, to tear them down. And why would that be?
Well, first of all, when you say a homosexual publication, when gay people read many of these publications, it's focused on a part of their lives. You know what a public gay publication also is to me? Newsweek, Time Magazine.
You're right. Denver Post.
Well,
but they're also anti-heterosexual because they mock Ozzy and Harriet. The general culture, culture mocks Ozzy and Harriet.
Oh, you know what? A lot of heterosexuals mock that as well. You're talking about individual gay people who have said this, and the reason is there are a lot of people out there who don't particularly care for marriage.
I'll tell you why.
They don't think it works.
Okay, that's your reason, because they don't care.
They look at the divorce rate of 50% among heterosexuals.
Yeah, right.
A lot of people think that marriage is not good. I happen to not be one of those people. My parents have been married for 40 years. Right. I'm in a relationship. You know, I don't agree with that, but a lot of people, gay and straight,
Wayne, and
think marriage is a myth.
And here's the reason I think that they're universally vilified, Ozzy and Harriet, in our pop culture, is because if you have something that's healthy, good, and right, and you have a competition that's broken or perverse, for it to have an opportunity to become mainstream, you have to relentlessly mock what is good and right. Husband, wife, and kids are mocked in our pop culture to pave the way for homosexuality.
They're only mocked when it's a phony relationship that people are pretending they're happy, and it's perfection. It's this whole notion, this false notion of this perfect couple where everything's perfect and the world's wonderful and they smile, and the wife is a role, and she's looked at as almost like a servant of the husband, and it's this whole phoniness that people are mocking.
We just had a woman in our studio audience, Wayne Besson, and she cheered, and I could hear her through the studio glass. She said, "I want to be my husband's servant."
Well, that was
Joe Scott.
If that's what makes her happy, you know what? If that's what makes her happy, that's great. I'm happy.
She was born.
There were a lot of women. There were a lot of women who felt trapped in that role. In fact, there's a movie out right now with Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet. Was a Revolutionary Road, and I think it when you talk about this whole Ozzy and Harriet people making fun of it, I think it's sort of captured in that movie where some people felt trapped, that they didn't necessarily want to feel that if they weren't in this Ozzy and Harriet relationship, they weren't coerced into it, that their lives would be ruined, that they'd be looked at askance and they couldn't advance in their careers. It's that.
But here's the thing.
You talk about gay people not wanting that. Then why is it that the number one issue, the number one thing that we're fighting for right now is the right to marry?
I'll tell you why. It's because of the fundamental rebellion against God that's in the homosexual mind, and you know that it's a way to destroy the influence of Christianity in a culture if you could mainstream homosexuality. Bill Clinton doesn't
care.
Like,
you know what? We're indifferent to, quite frankly, to the type of Christianity you're talking. We just want to be left alone.
Bill Clinton, I don't believe that, Wayne. That's not comforting. That assurance.
Conservative, you know what? Conservative.
How about suing Christians?
Christianity.
How about suing a Christian photographer for not taking photographs at a homosexual wedding? You see the homosexuals protesting against that judgment? The Christians are. We're protesting against that. There's an onslaught of shoving homosexuality in the face of the Christian community, and that's only increasing as your side gains power.
Oh, you know, we're just asking to be left alone. Who's doing the shoving? Are many of these right-wing evangelical Christians that want everybody to live by their rules. You know what? I don't belong to your church. I don't belong to your church. I don't subscribe to your rules. You're not my pastor. Yet you want your church rules put into the laws of whether it's Colorado or California.
I want everyone to live by...
How dare you try to tell me to live? How dare you force people like me to live by your rules? I'm not a member of your church. And this is supposed to be a free country, and I don't have to belong to your
church. Free country doesn't mean the ability to commit crime. I want everyone to live by thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kidnap, thou shalt not bear false witness, perjury, thou shalt not commit adultery.
Well, how about thou shalt not judge? It seems like you're pretty good at that.
Oh, I am. I do judge. Jesus commanded us, John 7:24, to judge rightly. And he said in Matthew 7, you hypocrite, you are doing the same sin. Stop committing that sin. Then you could see clearly enough to judge.
And Jesus was talking a lot about the Pharisees, these religious zealots who go by these laws rather than the commandment of love. And that's, again, why so many evangelical Christians these days are doing such grave and grievous damage to their own religion. It's showing that the younger generation is completely turned off to the evangelical faith in conservative evangelical Christianity because they see it as judgmental, particularly against homosexuality. And unless the conservative church learns from experience, stops being so cruel and judgmental, and changes its tune, which it will, by the way, as it did on slavery, women, Jews, and everything else that they sinned against, this religion will be hurt.
I don't know if you're familiar with Christianity's influence on the treatment of women in the history of the world in the Roman Empire. Women were not allowed to testify in court. Their word was considered worthless. And women, by the hundreds of thousands in the first two centuries, by the millions in the next few centuries, embrace Christianity because Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul taught an equality of women with men. Jesus Christ died for women as he died for men. The Apostle Paul said there's no difference between male or female, and that men should live their lives, be willing to give their lives for their wives. And that was a break with the pagan, godless culture
that
came before them.
You know what? It was an improvement, and Islam was even an improvement in that. But you know what? That doesn't...
Wait, Islam, they don't allow their women to drive cars. They can't read. They can't go to school. In Turkey, they just allowed women to inherit property.
You know what? Thousands of years ago, they may have been improved. But how does that negate the fact that conservative Christians were against women voting? How does that supposed
I'm
to comfort
still
me?
Against
How is that,
that
supposed to comfort anybody?
I'm still
that
against
because
that.
There was an improvement a couple thousand years ago, that the religion was not twisted to justify and rationalize bigotry closer to today.
Wayne, how do you pronounce your last name? Besson?
Besson.
Wayne Besson.
Congratulations. You got it right. That's 50-50.
Thank you, Wayne Besson. We only have a couple minutes left. Wayne, I interviewed two transsexuals at two different shows. One I asked about the Titanic, and the other spilled a big gulp. He spilled a big gulp on the studio table 1 minute before airtime. He's dressed like a woman. He had a sex change operation. New York had reissued his driver's license as a woman's. When he spilled the pop, he panicked. He opened his purse, put it next to the table, and he scooped the pop into his purse. Pop and purse. And Wayne, to me, that's one example. No woman alive would scoop pop into her purse. He was a guy. It didn't matter a government bureaucrat, clerical error. It didn't matter an operation. It didn't matter what he said. He was a guy. Agreed?
Well, I don't agree. I don't agree whatsoever.
You think a woman would scoop pop in her purse?
Sure, I think a lot of
women. But
I think, have you ever seen Jerry Springer? I think there are quite a few women that would probably qualify for that type of crass behavior.
Crass behavior, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
You just watch one episode of Jerry Springer. I think this whole, women here do this, men do this, gays do this, straights do this, is very counterproductive. I think I judge people as individuals. In fact, when I meet evangelical Christians that are conservative, I judge them individually because everybody I've met is different and has different points of views. And I think it's to completely prejudge anybody is wrong. And I think that, to say that represents...
It's an example they're lying to themselves.
Women start going Jerry Springer and they completely... himself. I've known several women I've seen throughout my day that foul-mouthed and would do that.
Oh, yeah. Foul-mouthed, yes. Scoop and pop in the purse.
Or would do something with it, or pick food off the floor. I went to a waffle house. You know what? I went to one of these waffle pancake type of houses. On the road, I saw a waitress. I'm not sure which restaurant anymore, but I was on the road, picked it off the floor and put it, and ate the thing. To say that women wouldn't do that or an individual wouldn't do that, it's just... defies logic and reality.
All right. Women would scoop pop in their purse in that situation.
There are women that would, not women would.
Okay.
That's what I'm
saying. I got the distinction. On Denver's KNUS radio, another man who had a sex change operation was in the studio with his daughter, and I asked him a question if he had been on the Titanic or any sinking ship, and they cry out women and children to the lifeboats. I said, what would you do? What does he do? What do you have advice for transsexuals in that situation?
No, I have to admit I have never actually thought of that.
All right.
Well, question.
He got angry. He was in the studio for an hour, and that was early in the interview. And he would not answer that question. And again, to me, these are examples, illustrating that people lie to themselves. They get obsessed with perversion. And then they identify themselves with that perversion, and it's destructive. And that's one reason we're seeing millions of people die from the acceptance of homosexuality.
It's never killed anybody. It's healthy. It's normal. It's natural. People's morality is regardless of their sexual orientation, and it is not a result of their sexual orientation one way or the other. Whether people do honorable or heroic or terrific things for society, you have people who are gay that do that and straight to do that. And I take offense to suggesting otherwise.
You're
dead wrong about that.
Do you believe? So you don't believe that God made us male and female?
I believe God made us gay. God made us straight. God made us male. God made us female. There are just countless varieties, and over
countless varieties.
We're just evolution. I believe in evolution, as many people do.
You believe you've come from an animal. You believe you come from an animal?
I personally do. I think if science actually backs it.
A pig, a dog, a bacteria, you believe that's where you come from?
Well, it's not about a belief. It's what the science...
Well, is that perhaps, Wayne, is that perhaps what informs your conclusions? If you think you are an animal, right? Animals will have sex...
Bob, are you not a mammal?
I'm a mammal. I do not come from an
animal.
Yeah, I do not come from an animal. I'm not from a pig or a dog. I'm not. Animals will eat their own young. It's wrong to eat our young.
Well, humanity used to do human sacrifices to please the gods.
Is it
no worse? There were cannibals who had the human behavior, you want to suggest that.
And it's wrong, Wayne, right? It's wrong.
But I want to make it clear that my personal opinion isn't, quote, a gay or lesbian opinion. I have many gay and lesbian Christians, in fact, people I go and talk with all the time that teach courses in homosexuality in the Bible so people can interpret it the correct way, not the brainwashed way, they would be on your side and agree with that. I would say the majority are close to it of gay and lesbian people would probably be on your side of this particular issue, or at least a significant portion of them. So, I happen to believe in the science myself.
Wayne, regarding absolute morality, do you believe there's truth, absolute morality?
Yes, I believe that murder's. I believe murder is always wrong. However, if somebody, obviously, I think you'd agree, if somebody ran into your studio or somebody ran into my office and tried to shoot me, I would be justified in
self-defense. Right, self-defense is different than murder, exactly.
But premeditated murder, yeah, that's always wrong. I do agree with that.
Yeah, kidnapping a child, burying her alive in Florida, that's...
Yeah,
condemning
gay relationships as evil and immoral, that's wrong, I would agree.
Well, if there's absolute morality, you've just agreed, and if I am in conflict with that absolute morality, then you're correct. I should be rebuked and I should repent. If, on the other hand, absolute morality states that God did make us male and female and homosexual behavior is perverse and destructive, then you should be corrected. Would you agree with that?
No, I wouldn't agree with that because I believe...
See,
that,
honesty versus denial. Honesty versus your denial.
I know,
and
you're in denial. The fact is, gay people have been here for as long as we can...
So have murderers.
These
are not arguments.
Remember, there is nothing intrinsically harmful about homosexuality, and there are just millions of gay people who are completely healthy and happy and live wonderful lives that they're very pleased with. They've got the long-term life partners. All this anti-gay propaganda that says these terrible things about our lives, it's just meant to mislead people. And I'm here to tell everyone, I'm here to tell your listeners, that whether you're happy or not, whether you're healthy or not, whether you have a good life, whether you're a good person, has nothing to do with whether you're gay or lesbian. You can be very happy and live a rich, fulfilling, wonderful life.
All right.
Gay or lesbian, and a very moral life, too. And to say otherwise, I think just distorts the issue.
All right, Wayne Besson, this is my last question to you. I thank you for the time you've given us. If it turns out that there is a creator God who has revealed to us absolute morality, and he made us male and female, and he says homosexuality is destructive, it's wrong, would you be willing to repent if that were true?
Well, I would, as much as I believe you would be willing to repent, if God came right now and spoke to everybody in the world and said there this whole persecution against gay people.
Oh, yeah, if God told me,
evil.
Right, I
yeah.
would repent. If God told me that this was wrong, would you repent if you found out that God said it's perverse, it's wrong?
If God came right now outside of my window,
yeah,
and I was to look down, and everybody in the world could see this, it was on CNN and MSNBC, it said to me and everybody else that this was true and there was that kind of evidence, then, of course, who wouldn't reconsider?
I'm thrilled.
Unfortunately,
there are people who wouldn't. There are people who wouldn't, like Lucifer and Judas.
I think the vast majority of people in the world would do that, given that kind of evidence. What we see, though, we see people taking a man-made document and trying to twist it to their own prejudices.
Wayne Besson, I want to thank you for your time.
Thank you. I appreciate being on.
All right. The website is truthwinsout.org. Wayne is the executive director, and I'm thankful there are some who are in such rebellion that they can't even consider the possibility that if there is a God, would I humble myself before him? I'm thankful Wayne said yes. He said, of course, most people would, everybody would if they saw it. Well, the message of the Bible is the opposite. When God did miracles in Egypt, the Egyptians hated him. When he did the miracles in the wilderness before the nation of Israelites, the people hated him. When Jesus Christ did the miracles in Capernaum, in Bethesda, and in Jerusalem, in Bethany, they hated him. In fact, finally, they crucified him. So God has revealed himself to us through the person of Jesus Christ. He did come down. He wasn't right outside the window in Brooklyn, but just across the Atlantic Ocean, across the Mediterranean, into Jerusalem, just outside the northern gate of the city, just an arrow's flight from the gate on the north of Jerusalem to the top of Golgotha, Jesus Christ was crucified. He did come down, and he is the one who made us male and female. And he said, Jesus Christ quoted Moses, "In the beginning, God made them male and female." So please pray for Wayne Besson and his partner who answered the phone when my producer called. And truth wins out. It's tragic to be committed to rebellion, perversion, and godlessness. But there is hope. When there's life, there is hope. So our website is kgov.com. You can get our catalog. Just call us at 800-8-NYARDS, 800-836-9278. I'm Bob Inyart. We have a DVD, Terry's Call, a homosexual who called in and became a Christian. So there's hope for Wayne. Maranatha, what a great school. May God bless you.